Millennials and boomers, they always keep complaining about things where I think, you're so privileged, you have everything that you need to live, you could be so happy, but I wanted this, I wanted reactions, I wanted to push my ego also a bit. At some point, I just realized that I hate having a boss. Oh yeah, you got 10,000 followers, that's nice for you. No, it's not nice for me, it just destroys the algorithm, it destroys my integrity, and it's just fucking...
Without further ado, welcome, dear future creator.
When you started the podcast, when you started having this idea, were you sure that you wanted to do it? Like, you knew that you liked it? Or were you just like playing around with the idea first? And that's why you didn't want to invest straight away, like, big budget.
I was, at the beginning, I was playing with the idea because I wasn't even sure if I am the type of person who can do this, especially if it comes to speak correctly, because my I'm not 100% Luxembourgish, so if I speak Luxembourgish, you can tell that my parents are not Luxembourgish. I don't have an accent, but sometimes I just misspell words or I have wrong Relatable. Grammar, which is I know, like you're Portuguese, right?
Yeah,
so my parents are Brazilian, so we share the same issue. So an issue, problem. It's not even a problem, just normal, you know.
Same trait.
Like, come on, we have to. We all speak five languages. That's fucking enough.
cut off some slack on the language and mistakes part.
Yeah. Don't judge us on that. But then I started and I got so many good positive feedback, and everyone wanted to listen to it. Everyone was texting me stuff like, it's so cool that you're doing something in Luxembourg. Oh my God. And also people were also telling me stuff like, you're the first girl doing this, which isn't even true. But the fact that a woman does something in Luxembourg, people already, wow. She does something, you know? And I find this very, like, it just motivated me to do more. And
the feedback?
Yeah. Feedback was huge. Like, you know, you don't do something like this and you don't expect to people not to write you. Like, I wanted this. I wanted reactions. I wanted to push my ego also a bit, you know, just to tell people that I want to change something. I thought it's a very ego thing, I would say. But I think that's for all creators outside, in the world, and not only creators, but everyone who likes to be on the front page.
Is that you? You can say yes.
There is no wrong answer. I guess yes, but only you. If there's a good reason behind it, you know, imagine I have a scandal and then I will be in the front page because of the scandal. That would not be my goal. But if it comes to something, she's changing something, then I want to be on the front page.
Yeah, it's like one of the traits of your podcast is really like, and you say it in the description, right? You want to interview people that are thinking outside of the bubble, you say, in Luxembourgish, right? And I was wondering how much of them is in you, of you being that person thinking outside of the bubble.
That's a very good question, because as a journalist or as someone who's talking about other people, you have to stay neutral about it. But I'm obviously not.
Okay.
Like, how I choose people, like, I couldn't interview someone who I might find not interesting at all. And there has been people who texted me and they wanted to be in my podcast, and I just had to tell them that, like I didn't lie, I just say that it would not be relatable for the community that I'm trying to build up. And that's the thing that I see myself, where, you know, when I see a person, I'm just like, yes, that's such a cool person. She's creative. He can do this and whatever. And then I'm just like, yes, that's something I want to tell people. And I think for myself that it would help people to get outside of their bubbles. But that's a very subjective thing to say, you know, because, you know, you can just pick someone up and maybe this person will help another person to get out of their bubble and not from my bubble, you know. So
what does that mean, getting outside of their bubble?
For instance, I always take Luxembourg in general as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Luxembourg is such a small country, very rich country. We all know that. And each time when I have work in Luxembourg, especially millennials and boomers, they always keep complaining about things where I think, yo, you're so privileged. You have everything that you need to live. You could be so happy, but you chose this path. You chose this, which isn't making you happy because people didn't give you, like, I think that people didn't give you or the community or the Gesellschaft, the society didn't give you options. So they stayed in their Luxembourgish bubble, you know, making people telling you you have to get a degree and then you have to get a job, you have to be a doctor or whatever. I'm not saying that we don't need doctors. We fucking need doctors. or another example, you know, working in a bank, or it's like, I want to make money, I want to get rich, I want to have 6 cars. That's a very Luxembourgish bubbly thing. And sometimes you need to get out of this, you know, show that there are other options, show that there are people who were in the same bubble but got out, and then they experienced very new things in their lives. So, that's the thing with the Luxembourgish bubble. What do you think about the Luxembourgish bubble?
I have my own experience, which is essentially what you are saying, but lived.
Yeah.
So for me, it was exactly the same thing, leaving high school, going to university, studying maths, studying finance, going into a finance job, and then like opening up the eyes and was like, this is not what I want to do.
Yeah.
In a nutshell. So I feel like that you are, there's certain rules that are put into your head. And as you are growing into that system, those rules are amplified.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is telling you that you need to do X, Y, Z. That basically, it's like you are putting on those glasses of this is what you can do. And when you take off those glasses, you're like, okay, these are all the other options that no one tells me about.
Yeah, that's
true. I feel like this is one of the purposes of your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to another question, which is really like, who is your audience and who are you sharing that message to?
At the beginning, like my goal was to have a big community, a very, very young community for people who haven't yet chosen their path. So I'd say teenagers between 16 and 18, 19 years old, like before they went to university, because I think that's a very huge step that you take, you know, before, you know, this, you go to high school and then what can I do? Can I also do an internship, an Ausbildung? Not everyone has to go to university, you know? And so that was my goal. But then people started listening to my podcast and then I had my statistics and people were like, it was between people who listen the most are between, say, 20 and 40. So all these people, they already have jobs and they already have chosen their path. So I think it's more of a, they like to listen to it, but I think that they would not change their lives because of the podcast.
Mm.
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Kind of neutral.
Okay.
Because maybe they will give what they learn in my podcast, maybe they will teach it to their, I would say, their children. And also it's not only about getting people out of their bubble in a job way, but also in a more society way. For instance, I had two episodes about mental diseases, about borderline, about eating disorders, or also the last one was about being asexual. So there are a lot of bubbles where you can just bring someone out. So, and that's what I realized after after seeing the statistics, that I can also choose other bubbles to take them out.
So you are essentially, it's not like you are, but it's what people would call controversial topics.
Yeah. Yeah, like taboos.
Taboos.
Yeah. In Luxembourg.
In Luxembourg. Yeah, we still have to grow outside of our bubbles.
The thing is, I would not say that the official medias don't talk about these topics. They talk about it, but they talk in a very wrong way, or a way that you cannot kind of imagine it or touch it. You know, you have to go to people with the disease. You just can't. It's like two white women or white men talking about racism. Like, shut up. Like, also in German TV does that a lot. I'm just like, what the fuck are you trying to do? This is so embarrassing, you know? Or men talking about sexism. It's just, let people speak who lived the experience and not just people who read about it. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's essentially the meaning behind bringing someone out of their bubble.
Mm-hmm. Do you consider yourself as an activist?
That's also a very good question, because I asked this myself a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Because I, on my private Instagram account, I write a lot about social issues, and but in a very funny way, because I don't have the writing intellectual, you know, to do very nice articles. But I have like the, I know how to reach young people, and I know how to explain things to them so that they, like in a funny way or in a way that they want to read it and want to learn it. So then I always ask myself, okay, could I be a politician, or should I stay an activist? Because I'm very interested in politics, but it's so complex, and I don't want to be part of any specific party in Luxembourg, because I always think like, no, I swear, I tried. But the thing is, there is no party where I would say I'm completely 100% on this party side.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure that no one is like 100%, but still, like, if you choose a party and you go there and you help them, you just have your Stempel on your on your head, for your whole life. So you can't be neutral about things. You can't speak to people and while being neutral, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I'd say I'm an activist.
Okay.
Yeah, there's still something I wanted to say about getting out of
your bubble.
Of your bubble. It's also a very privileged thing to say this, because if your family is poor, if you don't have the means to, you know, go make your dreams happen and make your dreams come true, it's just very hard to just say, okay, I will go outside of my bubble. I will just step outside of my bubble and have being artist. That's something very important that I want to say to people, like, because I always say, yeah, you can just do it. So, like, no, actually, not everyone can. Like, I have a very privileged position, because I've never been poor in my life, but I've seen a lot of poor people, and I've seen the struggles that they had. People who wanted to drop out school at when they were 16 years old, because they had to work, help their father, because, or also because their father was sick, and they had to sustain the family. In the other side, the Luxembourg state helps a lot, but sometimes it's not enough. I had a guest in one of my podcasts. He told me that Luxembourg is the best place to become an artist, because you get so much money from the state if you want to do some projects. And that's something that I want to tell people. If you have no money, but you are, for instance, a musician, and you want to do a music video, you can ask the state for money, and they will give it to you. I have tons of friends. They always have budget for music videos, and that's a thing. You know, sometimes I tell this to people in Germany, and they're like, wow, do you want to marry me so that I can have the Luxembourgish the Luxembourgish passport so I can get some money from your state? Mm. Yeah, sure. I'm no. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it that led you to share your opinion online?
I think it started all out because my parents, I would say that they were never afraid of giving us access to the internet. So I started being on the internet when I was very young. I started with MSN. I don't know if you remember that. Shout out MSN, rest in peace. And then it went to Facebook, and then it went to Instagram. So I was always there when
you did the whole cycle.
Yes, because there are people, they didn't have MSN, they didn't have Facebook, they just started straight away on Instagram. And I liked the concept that you can share pictures and people give you attention. I think it was more of this attention thing that made me like being on the internet, being on, you know, on the front page, I'd say. Now that I also know how this whole system works, because, you know, as a digital native, I've grown up with it. It's just like something that I could also work in that area. Mm. It's just a knowledge and also an ego thing and also the whole attention thing. Like, I think it's just sticks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you know where that attention thing comes from?
I have still no idea from where it comes.
Okay.
Maybe it's just.
But you've accepted it. You've accepted it.
Yes, but I've been like this, since forever. Mm-hmm. I was always the one shouting in class, or trying to, you know, being rebellious. people who I've known when I was a child, they always say, "Oh, you're always the one being rude to the teachers."
Mm-hmm. So what are the consequences of being CC on the internet?
I had a lot of time. People always think that I have a lot of haters, but I think not.
You don't.
Maybe yes, but I don't see them. Mm-hmm. It was just, and that's something I really want to talk about. That's like something that happened 2 weeks ago. Before that, I never really had people, you know, judging me, maybe behind my back, but they never, like, I can compare it to Jana. She gets emails, you know, she gets threats, she got so much hate. It's very hard. Sometimes she tells me about it, and I'm just like, this is insane how mean people can be.
Mm-hmm.
Without a reason, you know? But for me, it was like 2 weeks ago. It had something to do with my podcast. It was on my private account where, as I already told, I always do like some activism. So there was this one profile on Instagram talking about depression, panic attacks, but also selling a placebo bullshit to people. Mm. With depression and with panic attacks. So it was basically a guy taking advantage of sick people, making them believe that if they buy their stuff, they will get better, which is bullshit. That's like the biggest bullshit ever. Mm. And it's a Luxembourgish brand.
Oh.
Yes, like a Luxembourgish private person. So what I did was I called the page out and I told people how to find out if a page like this is legit or not. So I told them about a tool that you can use to find out if you have fake followers or not. So I just did it straight away. I didn't give a damn. Like, I was like, hey, I also tagged him on everything, just that, you know, so he should stop. And then people were very thankful for the tool, and they were also, you know, very shocked about the fact that someone tries to sell you something when you're sick. Yes, and then he texted me, and at some point I blocked him because he was texting me too much. And then the moment I blocked him, I got 10,000 fake followers on my private account.
Damn. Well, he's using the tool, though. This is proof.
No. The proof is to check if someone has fake followers. It's not to buy someone fake followers.
But it's proof that he used it on you.
Oh.
That's what I mean.
I don't know. Like, I can't say for 100% if it's him, but it's like, obviously, I couldn't go to the police and just say it was him.
Of course.
And that's the problem, you know? Yeah. And he got me, you know? It was the first time that someone on the internet just got me. Like, I was mad. I was, because this, it just sounds very, oh yeah, you got 10,000 followers. That's nice for you. No, it's not nice for me. It just destroys the algorithm. It destroys my integrity. And it's just fucking annoying. You know, because I had to take everything out. And at first, I wasn't so mad because it was my private account, but he also did it to my podcast account. 10,000 followers on the podcast account. And then I Googled how much it costs. Google said it's 1,000 followers cost between 6 and 10 euros. So he was spending a lot of money just to annoy me. And this is something that I still... The worst thing of all was that I had to make... I had to turn the profile... two of the profiles on private. So I couldn't post anything because I will not post something without people... because people always like to share my stuff, so they couldn't if I was on private.
Makes sense.
So I waited a few days, and then during the few days I was also taking everything out, and then I did it again. Like I turned it on
public
again, and then what happened? 10,000 followers.
Oh my goodness, that's really like a troll. I never had those stories. So
this is insane. Like, and then I also Googled and search for articles about it. And there are a lot of influencers who get this from haters because they want to, especially for influencers who are having corporations with brands and everything, because brands, they always, I worked at an influencer marketing. So we know how to check if someone's legit or not. And I would also not like to work with someone who has 10,000 followers. So it just, it's not only an integrity thing, it's also a financial thing. Imagine you live out of it.
Yeah.
And it's so easy. Just, you can just buy someone. It just happens in a second. It's insane.
Yeah, there should be something that you have to give at least your password or something. I don't know. But
The thing is, I contacted a hacker. And
she's got connections. I just contacted a hacker. Yeah.
And he told me, because the thing is, I wanted to know if there's a way to track all them on the person who did it, because then I would have Beweise,
proof
that he was it, and then I could go to the police, because that's a thing against your privacy. I could go to the police,
okay,
but only if I have proof. So, and he told me that it's actually very hard, and you have to contact Instagram, because Instagram can change that people only can follow you if they have, if your account is at least 1 year old. So, and then I could be sure that people who follow me are not fake followers, because all the fake followers, they are always done instantly.
Spots.
when you buy them. It's always like a name, I say Smith, Carol, and then tons of numbers, and then super random pictures. It's always the same.
Smith, Carol.
I'm sure that that my image or your image is already on someone's bot account. Mm-hmm. It's insane. But yeah, that's the only thing the hacker told me. And then I contacted Be Secure. They actually, it's very, like, if you have an issue on the internet, also with cybermobbing, cyberbullying, go to Be Secure. They know their shit. they really know. They told me that there were, with the thing that he was doing, there were three laws that were broken for my privacy. So I can actually go to the police.
Oh, nice.
Yes, but I'm not sure if I... Do I want to spend time on it, you know?
Yeah, if you've dealt with it, then...
Yes. And also, imagine going to the police station, you know, and telling them, someone bought me followers.
Yeah, it's one of those things, right? Because people that don't, it's like I say people, a lot of people don't understand, but if you are in the industry, you understand how it works, and you've talked about the algorithm, you know exactly why, like how it works, how it works, you know what it, what contributes to having a community, what contributes to have, to grow an account, and people, whereas the outside or like the first layer of what everyone sees is like the number that is on the top of the profile, and that should be big, so you are big, which doesn't necessarily mean that. It actually means how much, what is the depth of that number that you have,
and the engagement rate.
Yeah, exactly. And that's like one of those things that obviously, like if you go to the police, they don't necessarily understand.
I imagine it's a 50-year-old sitting there trying to understand what I'm talking about, you know. It's just weird. And you know, I policeman laughing at me, it's like, for me it would be the worst thing ever, you know. I'm just like, oh.
So I remember asking you one of the questions, like in privately, I asked you a question, what is your biggest challenge as a creator? And you told me that it would be the fact that if you lost the community that you had on that one platform that you're trying to build, you didn't necessarily know how to handle that. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that. It's like, because now, you know, I've spent so much time finding out how to reverse that, and it's still so hard. If I would lose my community, because there's also this question with how long do you want to do this? How can you, like, if you have been here, can you still go there? Or if you know, if you have been here and then you went here, can you still go back? So it's like the thing with, do you want to move on? Do something new? Also, when I started this, I was a student. I had a lot of time, but I can imagine if I would start to work for real, I don't even know if I could handle the podcast. But still, on the other side, maybe I could, maybe this could be also my job. I would not say no, but if I had the opportunity. But still, it's actually still a very hard question for me to answer that, to be honest, how I could handle that. How would you handle it if you would lose your community?
So first and foremost, let's be completely blunt here and clear. I don't think I have a community yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think that I've been changing content so often that I haven't. I've gathered a lot of people from different perspectives and like and not one specific person. I'm not speaking to one specific person. Well, now I am, which is creators.
Yeah.
But I didn't do that before. So I can't speak to lose that community.
You didn't have a concept.
Yeah, I had a concept, but the concept was like very broad, right? It was not like, it was self-development before. It was just like understanding the reason you are who you are today, you know?
It's very vast.
It's very, so it was not a niche. And now, obviously, it's a little bit, it's self-development within creators, and it's still not a niche just yet because it's a lot of creators. You know, you're a podcaster. Next week, I will have a fitness coach. The week after, I will have another podcaster and streamer. So it's creators, but still a vast. And I think where I will see growth is when I focus on one specific creator, like niche of the creator, and merge that with self-development.
This is a very important, like this is the first thing that you learn when you study marketing. Like you have to find your niche. There's always this the thing that people say, don't use the Gießkanne. Use the Wasserstrahl. Like point it, don't spread it. You know, there are so many ways to find your target group. You have, and you always have to, it has to be smaller, 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 because if your target group is small, it's very easy for you to find out what they want, or also what you're able to do. You know, imagine you're good at something, but this one something is only interesting for a certain type of people, whatever, then just focus on it. Like that's an advice what I give everyone who starts stuff, you know. Try to make it greifbar. How do you say it in English? Because also that's the thing with you said, that you said, like with the first concept that you had, it was very
broad,
you know, you can't take it, you can't imagine it, you can't feel yourself in it. So that's also very good. And you have to be empathetic. And really try to understand what people want to hear. How do they react? How do they ask yourself a lot of questions? How do people use their phone? You know, it comes. How do they read? How far do they scroll down? How quick do they scroll down? That's all. Everything is a thing that you have to, you know, consider when you're a creator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you know that before starting the podcast, or did you know that before studying marketing?
No, I didn't. I learned it at school, mm-hmm. At university,
mm-hmm.
And then I also had a lot of jobs in
the marketing world. So now you're still thinking, you're looking into a master's, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you said maybe podcast will be the thing that you will want to do.
Maybe it will be a part of it.
Part of it.
Yeah.
So what would that ideal world be? Because now you are outside of the bubble,
mm-hmm.
right? What would that ideal world look like?
World or job?
Yeah. So the ideal world where you would live in, that you are doing the thing that you like to do as a job. So after the university.
Okay. So I have a realistic answer and an unrealistic answer.
I like to hear the unrealistic one.
Okay. I would love to do moderation for a dating show on TV.
I can see you in that.
This would be so funny, you know, having people sitting there and just asking questions, and you know, and then at some point, okay, is it a yes or a no?
Like, I can see you do that.
Do you swipe it? It's like Tinder, but on TV. It would be so funny.
I thought, like, to be honest with you, so I wasn't expecting moderator, but because you do the podcasting thing, I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, like also with your personality and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would be a cool concept.
Thanks.
No, I don't know why I'm like that. Would
now,
be
now we can ask for.
So now we need a sponsor.
Yeah,
if you're listening
okay,
to this,
sponsor.
Who is it going to be?
Tinder, whatever. or investors. So the realistic one. I've worked a lot. If I'm 23 years old. And in comparison with all my friends and all people in my age, I've changed a lot of jobs because people in my age in Luxembourg, not in Germany, they start working when they are 12.
Okay.
No, not 12. That's illegal.
13.
But 16 or something. Yeah. They always had jobs. So I started working, and at some point I just realized that I hate having a boss, that I hate taking decisions where I think it's not something that I would like to do. So I think the ideal job for me would be to be an independent freelancer in content creation, marketing, also how to build up your community, how to find out how to build something up if you have a nice idea. Also campaigns. I would love to do campaigns. So it's a lot. Like in general, I would say yes, yeah, marketing what I do. But
so here is a question that I have. What is one thing that you had to learn in order to get this far with your podcast?
I had to learn understand what people want, because if you don't know what they want, people will not be interested in your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you build your community, knowing what people want. If they want, ask them. Don't try to be like the cool one, like not answering questions, because if you're small, you're not allowed to do this. You have to interact with people who text you all the time. You know, there are people, they have never seen me in their whole life, and they text me and they ask me questions. Sometimes it's kind of, no, I would not say annoying, but kind of like not appropriate to ask me questions about like psychological stuff, because I still have this distance between people who listen to my podcast. But anyways, that's the thing that I had to learn. That was a very hard thing. It's still hard because it's changing all the time. What do people want? What do I want? I change my mind every 3 seconds.
This is so relatable on my side as well.
And also, you have to also be, always have to be connected. You have always have to be online, knowing what's going on and then react on it. And it's also a journalism thing that you always have to know what's going on in the world so you can talk about it, so people can hear about it or read about it.
This is what you just described, my least favorite part.
Yes.
So not like least favorite part, but literally, as I said before, I limit my TikTok to 5 minutes a day.
Yes.
I limit my social media to 30 minutes on my phone. And like when you're messaging me through Instagram, literally I had to pull it up on my laptop because my phone doesn't, like, I don't have the app on my phone.
It's understandable, and that's also an issue with our generation.
Do you ever feel like it's taking a toll on you to be always online?
What do you mean by...
It's affecting you mentally, it's affecting you physically, it's affecting you in any kind of way.
I would not say that it's taking a toll on me because I'm aware of it.
Mm.
I'm aware that I'm on Instagram and I'm on a lot of on Instagram. Usually I have my routines that make me, you know, calm down a lot. That's, for me, it's doing 3 times a week. I go to, when I'm in Berlin, I go to the gym, and after the gym, well, like I do sports for an hour, and then I go to the sauna and to a whirlpool. Very privileged, I know, but you know, if you can, you can. But it's not even that expensive in Berlin, so I pay 30 euros a month. So it's at least 2 hours, like 6 hours a week, where I'm offline, and I just don't care because I'm just like, you know, having time for myself, thinking about stuff, not meditating, but still, you know, just talking with yourself. And it's funny because each time when I, you know, sitting in a sauna, you know, you're naked, and it's the time when I get the coolest ideas for next projects. It means that I'm not really taking a time off because mentally I'm still in it, but still it's very healthy for me. So I'm aware of it, but I've seen people who are not aware of it. They are spending times and times and hours on their phone. And if you're social, they're just taking a phone and scrolling down. And this is something where I think there's a grenze. A border where I think it should not be crossed. Mm. No, if you're socializing and then you're taking your phone out. Okay, if you want to show someone something, okay, but still, you have to take your time to talk to people. So I think that's important. Yes, so it doesn't take a toll on me.
Okay, well, that's good to hear.
Mm.
My last question to you is, for everyone who's listening, and hopefully those are now aspiring creators.
Yes.
As we are defining our niche, what is one advice that you would like to leave them with today?
It's very funny because it's also the question I always ask as the last question in my podcast.
Okay.
And I always tell the people, if they're not... So, was willst du die Leute drüber aus dem Wort gehen? That's always the question. And I always say, if they don't know anything, they have to say, sit leif man nehn. But here it's more, it's for the creators. So it's kind of another target group. Speaking of which, I talked a lot about target groups, but for me, the best advice that I can give to everyone is know your target group. Know who you want to reach. Make a persona, you know, make it, draw yourself a person and say, this is your average listener or average customer or whatever. And imagine what does this person want? So, because if you know this and if you're aware of this, you can, that's the first step that you have to make. Because if you don't have this, probably
You won't get the other ones.
Your project or whatever will probably fail.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Nice. Well, I want to say thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting me. It's very nice. It's a very nice studio. Like we talked about cameras and microphones because I always want to know how other podcasts are, what they use and everything. Yes, it was very nice.
Podcast nerding. Basically.
Nerdy, yes, yeah. Yes, true.
Yeah,
well, cool. It's cool to be on the other side, though. It's very.
I absolutely enjoyed the conversation. I think you have a lot of insights for people. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to hear their feedback.
Yes, me too. And shout out.
That's
subscribe.
That's it.
Subscribe.
And it's a wrap.
Yeah, it's a wrap.